And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
On today's episode of The Glue Guys, the loss of the year?
Silver linings galore. It's the silver linings playbook, Mike. So many silver linings.
You're Bradley Cooper. I'm Jay Law.
Yeah, love that for us. Let's waltz right into this episode.
To the Glue Guys, this is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at @BKGlueGuys, netsdaily.com, The Athletic. Get yourself by the paywall at theathletic.com/glueguys, a subsidiary of the New York Times.
Michael. Are the Nets back?
Oh. The Nets
are back.
Kind of.
Does that like an alien?
What do you mean?
It coming out of my headphones, that sounds like an alien is singing The Nets Are Back.
Oh, weird.
Did it sound normal to you?
Totally normal.
This is an odd feeling. We watched the game last night.
That is odd. That's weird for us. We never watch the games.
And it was a loss. Mm. And yet I'm as excited about this team without Kevin Durant as I've been.
Wow.
This entire stretch.
Are you buoyed? Would you say that you're buoyed right now?
I'm pretty buoyed. I'm buoyant. I'm floating in the water, above the water, and I will not sink because...
I've never seen you this happy after a loss. Maybe it's because of the loss, actually. Jeez. Now I'm seeing you in a different light.
Also win.
Yeah.
Speaking of, have you seen Tar? Anyways,
I did see Tar. We talked about that, right?
Yeah, I know. I love Tar. You like Tar, right?
I liked it.
Okay. Oh shit! You only liked it. I don't know. Do you feel? Are you as buoyed as me? Are you elevating above the water level?
You know what?
As I am.
I am, and it's not just because it was a close win, undermanned, without our best player against a really obnoxious... I forgot how annoying the 76ers... Can we talk about, first of all, how Joel Embiid is allowed to triple undulating suck it, DX suck it, to after an N1 with no reprisal. Nothing, but they're allowed to mean mug our guys all night, and then, like, the second you kind of just like, hey, I need a little space, I can smell the cheesesteak on your breath, dog.
Talking about the Ben Simmons, George Niang.
Niang thing? Also, Joel Embiid did the same thing to Nick Claxton, like, when he's about to take a free throw, or no, he's on the free throw line lining up for a rebound or whatever, and they both get a double tech instead. Like, it was just... Anyways, I don't want to start the show with a bunch of gripes, but that was an annoying game, and they are an annoying team.
Let's get into the gripes.
Okay.
100%, it was insane. I mean, if Joel Embiid was on my team and he did the double X, you know,
Xbox. He did it the Xbox style with the open hands. He didn't cross it up.
I would love it.
I so appreciate that you know that was the Xbox version of the suck it. That's what I like about you, Mike, that you know those details.
I would have loved it if Markieff Morris had done that, right? But because it was the other... I honestly say the 76ers won the game. They were shook. We were living rent-free in their heads. Rent-free, baby.
It was a full extension suck it. The amount of hip thrusting, Mike.
Multiple people got pregnant. Ovaries were bursting open at the seams.
You can see in the one clip, the people in the front row were like, oh my gosh. They were like a little bit secondhand embarrassment, I think, what was going on.
I agree with you. The fact that, so one, there's so much to talk about in this game, and it was so fun. It felt like a playoff game. I know that's said sometimes in the regular season when it's like, you know, two teams that just are close, but this felt
good. And I will say, kudos to the NBA, because Rivals Week is actually some solid marketing. I like it. I'm into it.
Yeah, except I think there's like a Nuggets, there's like a Nuggets Hornets game coming up.
That goes deep. You know? that bad blood.
I would like
it's
like
it. The Hatfield McCoys.
I mean, if for Rivals Week, it should be like every team should be on that two game. You know, like you play the same team twice.
Yeah, yeah, back to back.
That week.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like real. Like, imagine if the Nets had a game against the 76ers coming up on Friday night in Philly, too, or maybe right. in Brooklyn. God, it would be so exciting. It was, I don't know. Did you? I honestly felt like the 76ers, for some odd reason, they're the team higher up in the standings. You know, they have their full complement of their roster. They felt oddly shook. We had the yeah. Montrezl Harrell quotes going into the game, which I think were a little bit just like, I'm not, like, I think Montrezl Harrell was basically saying, I'm not game planning for Nick Claxton.
Yeah.
But it came out on the cold sheet of ink and paper.
Yeah.
It came out as like,
you're obsessed.
Who the fuck is Nick Claxton?
Yeah.
But I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
And they were a little shook. You could tell Joel Embiid was like trying to get into Nick Claxton's head. You talked about it. There was yeah. the incident where they get the double tech. They're just the first free throw. They're on the opposite side of the free throw lane. Joel switches to get yeah. next to Claxton and to talk in his ear. Claxton handled it like a pro.
Yeah.
An absolute.
I can't believe he got a hat. He shared a tech for that. Like, he really just stood there and let him just get. He just got dressed down by Joel Embiid for like 10 seconds and then got a tech for it. It was. Yeah.
But yeah, George Niang didn't get a tech for screaming in Ben Simmons' face.
Yeah. No, well, Ben Simmons got that tech.
Simmons got the tech because he did the.
Because he was like, I need a tiny bit of space here, man. Like, you're not allowed to just bark right into my mouth. He's like, you're inside of my mouth right now.
Sorry. A guy who's known to have mental health issues, and Niang's trying to trigger.
I see.
Let's
really set the table.
If we're going to cancel anyone from this game, let's cancel. I don't want to say George's. Is this even an S at the end of George? Is it? Yeah, he does. George. Yeah.
What do you do with that?
But I don't know what to do with that. George's, I don't know what to do with that S. Montrezl Harrell was a complete non-factor. The thing I want to, there's two things we could start with, okay? We could start with Nick Claxton's performance or Ben Simmons' performance and the fact that Simmons didn't play in the fourth quarter.
Or
what to you feels the most?
Yes, I mean, we could go right to we could tee this up with an email if that's how you want to do it.
Let's do it.
Because first up is that's Cheerboy. We got Jesse Hall. Jesse says, "What's the relationship like between Ben Simmons and Nick Claxton? Seems like Ben could be jelly of Nick's success, but I haven't really been able to pick up on any interactions at all." So I just kind of wanted to set the table because as we're already, just we naturally fell backwards into talking about pitting Ben against Nick. I don't know if that's fair for either player, but yeah. I mean, Nick Claxton is ascending, Mike. It's happening. It is happening right before our eyes. He is tacking on a whole lot more like intuitive, clever little, like he's crafty now, which is a thing that I did not expect from Nick Claxton. He's been using his speed to outwit Joel Embiid instead of just going brute force. Ben Simmons similarly kind of does that, but to lesser effect when on the defensive side against Joel, he did have a nice little chair pull moment. It's just a tough guard against anybody. We don't have that Joel Embiid stopper, Mike, as you've often talked about.
Well, okay. Brian, okay. I have something for you.
Please. Hit me.
Drop that bomb.
Oh, you're gonna let the whole thing play. Love that.
Breaking news, we've got our Embiid stopper.
Oh,
what has been one of the most consistent lines of dialogue conversation on this show over the past few years? Are the Nets going to get an Embiid stopper? Is Andre Drummond the Embiid stopper? Is it LaMarcus Aldridge the Embiid stopper? The Embiid stopper has become this mythical quest, the holy grail for the Nets roster construction. Do we have a guy who can stare Joel Embiid in his face and say, I'm going to give you hell tonight, Brian. I'm Russell Crowe and you're Joaquin Phoenix. And this is Gladiator.
Okay.
The crowd's behind me. Okay. Yeah. I may die in the end, spoiler alert.
Because I've already stabbed you in the liver.
But yeah. I'm the legend.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm the legend. Joel Embiid's Joaquin Phoenix. Nick Claxton is Russell Crowe.
Wow.
Nick Claxton stared Joel Embiid in the face.
Yes.
He went after him. He played defense on him. Sure, Joel Embiid had a nice game. 26 points, 10 rebounds.
Yeah, it's nice. That's fine.
6 for 18 from the field. Yes, I know he got a bunch of his points from the free throw line, 13 for 13.
Because the fix was in. The fix was in, Mike. That's the only reason.
The fix was in. Of course, and like, yes, I understand that Joel Embiid got to the free throw line via forcing people to foul him. Yeah. One of those people being Nick Claxton. Nick Claxton with 5,000 in the game, which is not that unusual.
Yeah.
But Claxton continually, what I loved about his performance, the aggressiveness, yes. But like he found the correct spots. Because there's times when guys can be ultra aggressive, mm-hmm. this sort of the heat check mentality, mm-hmm. and they kind of disregard team basketball. They disregard the moment to try to like prove their point, to get their payback on mm-hmm. the next play.
Mm-hmm.
Claxton, he was heady.
Yeah.
He was buoyed
yeah.
by his own performance.
Love that. A self-buoy.
Yeah. He stayed focused on the game as opposed to being focused on the matchup. And he played 38 minutes last night, 11 for 12 from the field. And some of those shots, you know, we had talked last episode about the difference between, you know, his dunks and his alley-oop shots. Alley-oop shots. I sound like Hubie Brown.
Mm.
And to his, like, running hook shots and all that stuff, like the percentages. There was a lot of crafty offensive movement happening from your boy,
yeah.
Nick Claxton. I was as impressive as I have ever been. For the first time, as we've been doing this show, I thought, do we have the Embiid stopper? You know, Disney is constantly looking for the next CEO. They brought back Bob Iger. Shout out Nina Kimes, employee of Disney, listens to the show. They brought back Iger because they just couldn't find the correct you know, person to run the mouse house.
Right.
Well, jeez. The Nets have found their heir apparent.
Yeah.
You know, they have found their version of what Netflix is doing with Reed Hastings and the other guy that's going to run product for them. That was a little inside.
Yeah, that was inside baseball for you. Yeah.
It
seems like a sustainable path forward. You know, he just is faster. He makes Joel Embiid look slow and dumb, you know, and that's what you want to do. and that's what was happening. And so he just had to defer to trolling for fouls the entire night, which just makes him look slower and dumber. It's just like he just had to resort to cheese tactics, which, you know, fine, that works. And I was actually noticing, or I was thinking about this last night when we were watching the game on the stream. Shout out to the stream. And if you don't know about that, you got to go to their discord.gg/glueguys. The Nets get a bad rap for being like the villainous team. But like they are diametrically opposed to teams like the Sixers. The Sixers are actually villainous on the court. The Nets play a very, you know, a pious version of basketball, even, I would say. It's straight up like we don't troll for foul. I don't know. We haven't done this in years. I would actually like this. Even when Harden was playing for the team, they just decided not to call fouls for the Nets during that period of time. So we've never gotten the calls, and you know, I'm going into like Homer gripe mode again, but like the 76ers are such a villainous team on the court. Like when things are not going well, Embiid is such a troll for fouls. It's really aggressive. And Nick Claxton, to his credit, did the best he possibly could with that situation. It's a very like, it's a, you know, conversation between Joel and the refs, and Nick Claxton gets invited into it, and it's a lot to sort through. And he's just beating him with speed and, like I was saying, like cleverness, you know, those types of things. That's sustainable. You know, if you can tack that kind of thing onto your game, like just having, you know, we use basketball IQ. I don't know that it's even basketball IQ. It's just like on-court intuition. And anyways, I'm just like, I'm finally seeing like, oh, there's like a real like breakthrough potential for Nick Claxton. Like it's like kind of happening right now in this moment where KD is down, and we were thinking, okay, like now it's time for like Ben Simmons to sort of step up, and it's really been Nick Claxton sort of stepped into that position. Like it has been. He's filled that role.
The Nets' third star.
Wow, there it is.
DPOY. I mean, we didn't even mention the block.
Yeah. And he fell like a sack of potato. It was a sack of flour, Mike, after he blocked him.
Exquisite Joel Embiid falling down, acting like he got hurt.
I know.
Acting like he got hurt when Claxton had the purest form of block, pure uncut.
There is something especially nice about like the butt hurt, like my wrist, like ow, my wrist. That's what Joel was serving. You know, you don't want to see people get hurt, but just a little ow, my wrist is nice.
Wasn't hurt. He was embellishing to act like it wasn't as embarrassing as when he got yammed in the face by. Yeah,
he was indignantly like kind of appealing to like my ouchie.
I posted a picture of, I mean, there's many pictures of Nick Claxton in the offseason lifting weights, you know, doing curls, shoulder flies.
Okay.
The whole works. I mean, you could tell, obviously, he looks different than last year.
A lot of arm strength, yeah.
And you know, us in the weightlifting community, we call those popcorn muscles.
Okay.
They're popcorn muscles.
Why is that?
They're not real. They're just they're for show. They're for Instagram.
Oh, I see.
You know, I may not look it. I'm just a ball of muscle.
Why is it?
It's not defined.
I'm not sure I get the popcorn part. Like popcorn is okay.
It's just like kind of like airy and.
All right. It looks more
dense.
Yeah, it looks more.
It's like because popcorn is like nothing, right? Yeah. Ultimately,
I don't know. There's a lot of calories in that movie theater popcorn, Mike. If you think it's nothing, that's the butter. That is the butter.
That's the butter. And yeah, I don't really know why they're called popcorn. Yeah. I'm not that deep into the community. I'm like sort of like in and out. I'm like sure. a snowbird, sure. you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I fly down to Florida, but I don't live there all
right,
the time.
Right.
That's me in the weightlifting community. So Claxton had this. I mean, he's a beautiful human. He's I've talked about this before. If you've ever seen Fifth Element, he is Mila Jovovich or whatever. He's like the evolutionary form of humanity. He's yeah. gorgeous, completely athletic, a swell human. Don't know him personally, but seems like a great guy.
Yeah.
But he got swole in the off season, and it was like, okay, you can get swole. Doesn't mean anything on the court. It means something. This game. Sure. Joel Embiid was coming back from injury. He maybe shouldn't have played in the game on some level. I'm not going to give them any like kudos. Yeah. It's Claxton's bulking up plus his maturation and level of confidence. He said something after the last game where I think he shot 14 free throws the last game or the game before.
Sure.
So when he was like 6-for-14 from the line. Talked to Megan Triplett,
mm-hmm.
yes, after the game, and she asked about the free throws, and he was like, I just got to keep taking them. Like, you know, I'm not going to get better by not taking them.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, he was 3-for-6. It's not like I'm saying his free throw improvement is going to happen tomorrow, but the mentality. I think his mentality is different. That's why I want to have him on the show, Bri.
I do think that
I want to get inside that brain.
I want to kind of. It's not his fault. It's somebody else who's coaching him on that free throw mechanic thing that he's doing. It's segmented into these very. It's not natural. I just want him to change that sooner rather than later. It just feels wrong. There's something. It's turning in the wrong direction for me.
Yeah, it hurts me very much to watch it.
Somebody's, and I can tell it's a very like coachy thing to do. It's like, now break it down into steps. Like now's the leg part and like, make sure you take like 5 seconds, whole seconds to just look at the rim. It's just like, I don't know. It seems fussed over. Like it seems fussed over.
It's like someone's learning the TikTok dance before they start doing it. You know, it's like, okay, how do I got the arms here, bend elbow, bend elbow.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to pull it off and put it all together.
That's exactly right.
Let's quick break coming back. We had some more email.
Okay, well, let's just actually answer Jesse's question before we do that. Because
I don't think there's any.
Is there beef? Are they beefing? No, they're not. Okay, now we can go.
Well, I think coming after the break, I don't know if we have an email about this, but like we should talk a little bit about Ben.
Ben, come on, Mike. You know me. I'm way ahead of you. Let's go to the break. Let's go to the break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And we're back, Brian. Next,
Michael,
email up.
Next up, that's Cheerboy. We got Allison Masick. Sorry, I tried to. I went deep. By the way, this is a company policy. By the way, we do want to address this in this context, in the bubble of Glue Nation, of Glutopia. Boy, BOI, gender neutral. Okay, so I don't want to. We're not getting mixed into the game of changing these. This is, you know, Cheerboy. It's not Cheerboy in the traditional sense. It's BOI. So I just wanted to. So if you're, you know, if we're all boys here, that's what I'm trying to say. Mike, are you okay? You're getting uncomfortable looking.
I very much like the Harry Potter series and what happened to J.K. Rowling. Terrifying. So
yeah,
I'm literally like rubbing my.
You are. Palm. You're stimming right now.
I don't know why.
You're stimmed up.
I do love that we're all BOIs.
I don't know. If anyone has a problem with that, you know, let me know. But until further notice, I'm just going to
shove it.
Because it's.
You can move out of here. Yeah. This is our country. Yeah. Get on out.
Yeah, we're trying. But it feels. Because you're just reading names.
Hope goes to die.
You're just reading names on an email, so it's hard to even intuit in the first place. But, you know, I'm just presuming Allison is a. Now I can presume Allison's a boy like the rest of us. So that's BOI.
I presume that Allison Masick was actually a code name for Allison Mack, who is part of the Nexium cult. I thought, did she change her name? You know, Nexium?
Yeah, I do know Nexium. Wait, Allison Mack, the child star?
She was part of the cult. She was one of the recruiters Keith Raniere's.
Pivot. What a weird career pivot. So Allison says, so unless.
Like, what a career pivot. She sat down with her agent at CAA and said, what should I do next?
Yeah. Allison says, so in last night's game, do you think Jacques Vaughn gave Ben Simmons that many minutes to, one, help Ben warm up enough to get the confidence he needs, knowing that if Ben feels he can do some good stuff on a Philly court, he will believe he can do good stuff everywhere, in parentheses, admittedly, Ben did seem to warm up late into his minutes, or two, try to stat Ben up to be more attractive for a trade prospect. I know JV is playing the long game, but which long game is he playing? Thanks and appreciate the pod. Appreciate you, Allison. That is really truly tailored to Mike's taste, I feel like.
Are you in my brain? Yeah. I literally thought, so there was segments to Simmons's performance last night, but I'm looking at the opening segment when he looked, when he was afraid, his normal self, like afraid to shoot and all of that stuff. I was like, you know, there's a certain level where, like, again, you look at the statistics, he's very good on the court. Like, you know, they're better on defense. They actually are better on offense when he is on the court. He is so odd. The way teams defend him is unlike any other player in the NBA. But yeah, he's so gifted at passing that he will often find – he'll create those pockets because no one's defending him and then shoot off a pass because, again, no one's defending him. And got like what the Nets will end up start doing is they have Seth or Joe – kind of trail behind Ben Simmons because they know that Simmons's defender is closer to the hoop than being right on directly on Ben Simmons. And it creates this natural like bubble boy, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Bubble.
Sure.
Bubble that then the Joe or Seth can be at the 3-point line with like no defenders basically around them besides their own. If they can lose them on another screen. But I was thinking like, he was playing so poorly to start the game that I was like, they are straddling this line at times with him where they can't totally banish Ben Simmons ever, because if they ever want to trade him, they need to continue to kind of resuscitate his value. And there have been reports, Zach Lowe, Kevin O'Connor, who have both said the Nets will be, I think Woj did it as well, the Nets will be very active at the trade deadline. And I don't know if we have a trade question in the mailbag, but there's only so many people you can really trade. There's the top tier, which is Ben Simmons. There's the middle tier, which is Joe Harris. There's the lower middle class Seth Curry contract. I'm going down the contracts. Then there's the Cam Thomas, Patty Mills. I just don't want to trade Patty. I think he's just too good of a guy. Yep. I know his contract like is great. But anyways, there is some level of that. But that game progressed, and Simmons had one of his best stretches, I thought. He was ultra aggressive in the second half. And he impressed me. He attacked. There was a time he literally drove to the hoop looking for contact and then tried to put up a bucket, which I don't think he's done the entire season. He hasn't looked for contact the entire season. And he hit a free throw.
He hit back-to-back free throws, which honestly, to my memory, I think it's the first time this season that hit both free throws in one trip. I mean, we might need to check that. But there is an emerging schism in Nets Nation, not Glue Nation, Nets Nation, about is Ben Simmons good, Mike? And it's going to hit a fever pitch soon. I can feel it. It's happening.
Yeah, I had this.
Pick a side.
Pick a side
is what I'm asking you.
I think just look at the statistics. Look at the way he plays. He's good. He's not someone I tweeted out like, you know, people stress out about Ben Simmons, but a guy like PJ Tucker who sucks, he's just soaping up minutes and salary cap for the 76ers. And there's a bunch of guys kind of like PJ Tucker in the NBA where because they're not Ben Simmons, they don't get the smoke.
Yeah.
And I understand what Simmons does. I'm not like blind to the fact that he's a $37 million player, formerly all NBA, blah, blah, blah. Like I get, and he quit basketball essentially for a year. I get the smoke, but PJ Tucker sucks. And we don't talk about PJ Tucker sucking. Like PJ Tucker's way worse of a basketball player, and he plays not as much as Ben Simmons, but like he's kind of as important for their team. Ben Simmons, you know, we talked about this early in the season. We'll talk about it.
It is an interesting thing to do is to take the contracts out of it. It's really the contract that's causing so much consternation with everybody in talking about Ben Simmons.
If we did remove contract, previous sort of like
just create a vacuum, resume, create the bubble.
If you just in a vacuum, this roster, where is Ben Simmons on the power rankings? You know, we have obviously KD, Kyrie, 1 and 2. Clax is the third best player right now. Is Ben Simmons better than Royce, Joe, Seth Curry? Do you think he's actually better players than them, or do you think worse players than them?
I don't think he's worse. It's just he's so like kind of defies categorization.
Do you think he is actually better than them, those guys?
It's weird to just say better. It's not like it's not so easy when you're talking about Ben.
Different.
I know it's hard.
He's like the magic card that just like unleashes a magical spell, or right? That's something that happens in Magic. You can have a card that's
a magical spell.
There's like a magic.
I love when you reach for something that's so outside of your.
Okay, this is better. I don't know Dungeons and Dragons, but I know that there are characters in Dungeons and Dragons who are wizards.
Did we just jump from Magic the Gathering to D&D without any?
Is that in your mind? Are these basically?
Okay. Even more.
I apologize.
Jesus.
I saw something in Ben Simmons last night.
Okay, that was magical. Borderline.
Do you think
magical.
He should have played in the fourth quarter? More. Do you think they should have went to him? Because I think it was obvious by the end of the game that Claxton was completely gassed, and I wouldn't want to put Ben Simmons in the end of the game, but I think there could have been a moment.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is like Sethy is having a hot hand kind of moment, so he gets the run. So that's already kind of eating into your roster space. Go ahead.
I said this on the Twitter, but shame on all you MFers.
Oh.
All these Mo Bamba acolytes, all these people that think Mo Bamba is going to solve every Nets problem, and they're all like, trade Seth Curry for Mo Bamba. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you like, Mo Bamba can't play on a shitty Magic team, but yet he's going to solve the problem for a championship contender like the Nets when we have Sethy Curry, little Doc Rivers' son-in-law, launching 32 points. He's the reason why the Nets, ultimately, he's the reason why the Nets were close we're in this that, game, came back in the game, had any chance in this game. Because Sethy Curry can do that. Mo Bamba's going to get like 2 blocks and a shoot a 3, and we're all going to be happy about it. he's the difference in value between a guy like Seth Curry, who can come off the bench and score 32 points and be a consistent threat, versus a Mo Bamba. I love fake trades. I can't stand some of these fake trades that people are proposing. Wow. People are obsessed with Mo Bamba.
Go the off, guy's, King.
Guy's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine. Good. I would love Mo Bamba if he came to the Nets via, like,
the waiver
Cam
wire.
Thomas and David Duke Jr. and, like, like, you know, the garbage that we could throw to Orlando. But don't you dare throw Seth Curry in my face anymore and say we should trade him.
There it is.
Don't you, Brian?
I'm not going to do it.
You need to stop.
I'm not going to do it. Do you feel satisfied with that, or should we? I feel like, did we get to the crux of that question? These questions are really launching points, and we. Are they trying to bolster Ben Simmons' trade value?
I did think. Yeah. I also thought that as well at one point, but then I don't know what his trade value is. They only would trade him if it is like John Collins and what's Bogdanovich?
Yeah.
Which Bogdanovich do they have?
Bogdan, the Bog Man.
Yeah. Who?
Swamp Thing.
That's it. Anyway, we have any more? Yeah, we have two more, right?
Yeah, we got real two quick. More if you want to do them. Next up, that's Sure Boy. We got Jeannie Zykowski. Great name. Good morning, Gloozers. Is that like a turn of phrase for losers?
Jeannie Zykowski sounds like a name in like a friend of in a John Hughes movie.
Yeah.
Like the third lead in a John Hughes.
What's the name of the guy
in
Monsters? The Billy
Molly
Crystal.
Molly Ringwald.
The Billy Crystal.
Jeannie Zykowski.
The Monsters. Mike Wazowski. Sort of like that. Anyways.
The difference between a guy with no kids and the guy with kids. You're like, the Monsters. I'm like. Monsters. Yeah. I mean, how many times do you think I've seen Monsters Inc.?
Getting a lot of play over at the Smeltzes. Jeannie says, good morning, Gloozers, which, all right, I don't know what that's about. In the absence of KD, we have seen some players on the roster step up while others have faded into the shadows. When Mr. Durant returns, we naturally will see a decrease in playing time for Simmons, especially at the end of games. Will this be a detractor for him as a trade asset with the deadline approaching, or is it already too late to assume he has any value on the market? What kind of value could you receive with Simmons in a package slash who would you want to get back?
Yeah, so even though I just kind of defended Ben Simmons, you have to just look at the disgruntled, like the John Collins of the world, the guys who've been in trade rumors forever, and who that team is like, okay, maybe we just can't do the John Collins thing anymore. You do Ben for John Collins, and the Hawks throw something else in there. Not because John Collins is technically a better player than Ben Simmons,
mm-hmm.
I guess, particularly recently, of course, because Ben didn't play, but. I don't know. The Nets aren't. I don't think they're desperate to get rid of Ben Simmons. I think. Let me ask you this off of Jeannie's question. If the Nets traded Ben Simmons this very trade deadline, like right before whatever, how shocked?
Pretty shocked. Would you be? I'd be pretty shocked. I will say.
I think I have to be fair. I think it would be something I have no clue who they would get back.
Yeah. The market's tricky, but also, like, you know, there is some evidence to suggest that we're good when all three of our best players play. I mean, if we're throwing Ben Simmons into that crew, at least we'll say all four of our best players, Mike, because we got to start giving Nick Claxton his shine. It's happening. It's really happening.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Claxton is way better player than Ben Simmons.
Well, it's just happening. Here's the thing. It's if it's the old ain't broke, don't fix it kind of paradigm, Mike. And we've had so much turnover over the years. And then we're going to do a whole nother new thing where we're integrating a somewhat good, like we'll say Kuzma level player, whatever, over the course of half a season again. Or is that what we're going to do again? And it's always like, it seems to be continuously diminishing returns every time we do this. It's just like, I don't know. I don't want to do it.
I mean, I could, and also there's this whole thing of like, so did you see the report? Chris Haynes, he talked to Kyrie's stepmom, who is his agent. Do you see what she said?
Remind me.
Chris Haynes asked her about an extension, whether the Nets are going to sign an extension with Kyrie. And she was like, Kyrie would love to make Brooklyn home, The ball is in the Nets' court. Okay. If the right extension came along, she didn't define the right extension. I mean,
you know what extension that is.
What, the bag?
It's the big one.
The big daddy?
It's the bag.
Yeah, they're feeling pretty good.
I think he's coming for the bag, Mike. Look, the guy's playing out of his mind. He stepped on a tiny landmine earlier in the season. Haven't heard anything about it since.
Hitler soaked landmine. Yeah.
A lot of the landmines are.
Good point.
IRL. So in recent days, though, it's been gravy. He had one little poorly timed, right calf's
time. What's the good time?
Right calf strain. I was going to say about the calf strain, not the Hitler soaked landmine. The calf strain. So other than that, it's been all quiet on the Western Front. Sorry, I keep going to
Oscar nominated movie.
You're going to these German references. Yeah. And so far so good. So I'm increasingly becoming I don't know. Are we able to separate the artist from
art?
I think I
did kill a comparison Oscar nominees to NBA figures. Kyrie is Lydia Tarr.
Levels. Wait, did we do that killer comparison without me or something? What happened?
Tweeted out four of them.
What the hell?
Just randomly.
I deleted Twitter from my phone, Mike, so I don't see this. Last one.
The Ben Simmons a trade, it would be very shocking if it's right now. I think it's very much in play though in the offseason, just because let's say Kyrie comes back or he doesn't, whatever. The Nets means to upgrading the roster around Kevin Durant, if he's also here, would be, and he seems very happy, would be using that Simmons contract plus the picks and stuff to then get a whatever disgruntled superstar, Karl-Anthony Towns, maybe, to come here.
Yeah. Next up, cheer boy, we got Ryan Newman, a.k.a. D-Bronx, 1414 in the Discord. Shout out to the Discord. Ryan says, hello. Should the Nets be more active in seeking to trade Seth with how well he's been playing lately? Mike smells.
Ryan, no. Just talked about that.
I just feel like having a team with both him and Kyrie present defensive issues in the playoffs, and once KD is healthy, Sethy's role will likely diminish again. Anyway, love the guy, but his value as a Net may never be higher than it is right now, and it makes me think trading him would be smart, although ruthless move. Would be a smart. Although ruthless move. Mike, you gotta give him some credit there that trading him is smart and ruthless at the moment. That speaks to you on some of that speaks
is
to
now the time to
you just don't
Kyrie
like
Irving.
You just don't like Mo Bamba, okay? You just that's the one thing, but there is a price point for Sethy where you'd be interested.
Yeah, for sure. I guess I should dial it back. No, I just like the mix. I like the Nets that they have, Joe Harris, Royce O'Neal, and Seth Curry all at their disposal, that Jock as a coach can kind of, if Sethy is blowing up or Joey or Royce mm-hmm. are all blowing up, then he can kind of roll with them. I like that, as opposed to what's Seth Curry going to get you? Again, don't talk to me about Mo Bamba.
Nobody's talking about Mo Bamba's on an island. He's on Bamba Island.
I'm not on the Twitters I am, man. I'm on the streets.
You are. You're mixing it up.
People are shouting Mo Bamba's name from the 12th floor on down.
Yeah.
So I just don't. What I would like is Josiah going to re-sign Seth Curry? I would like to know that. Right now, because if he's not, then I actually have to get behind a Seth Curry trade on some level. But let me ask you this one last question, and then we can be done.
Please,
is this team
better with Mo Bamba? Yes,
essentially championship or bust. Meaning, and when I say that, I mean if you're building a long term roster, Seth Curry's on an expiring contract. You don't know if you can re-sign him. If you're not going to pay him because of luxury tax and all that stuff, then it makes sense to flip him for a guy on a longer term deal. But this team has championship aspirations, and so it risks that situation a bit. It risks, if you trade Seth Curry, you diminish your current chances of winning a championship. So what I'm asking is, should they care about long term building, or should they care more about the immediate? Do you know what I mean?
I do think that this season in particular, right now, the one we're in, is a pretty critical one, and it's a bit of a linchpin for our future plans. If we get that deep playoff run, if we get to the conference finals or whatever, or just get to seven games against the Bucks or whoever, or Boston, I guess. But if we get that, like, a competitive place with these teams, I do think that we're kind of contractually on rails. And just because it's hard to trade. I mean, it's hard to get value out of the Kyrie situation to the extent that we would need to going forward. And then it's also a very, like, uncomfortable and ultimately unknowable situation with KD and his relationship with Kyrie. Ideally, you do just kind of want to keep, if we're playing competitive at the highest levels and it's all kind of working on the court, it's so disjointed contractually where I think it actually just kind of makes sense to keep this core, at least the core two, intact. However, if we do have another spectacular failure in the first round, it will be time to take our black eye and maybe figure some stuff out, Mike.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying that, like, wait, did that not answer the question? What was the question?
I don't know.
I think
should
it was.
Should they trade long term? No, sorry, I heard someone got fired, so I was like,
oh, who got fired?
Do you know who Caitlin Cooper is? This is like a real.
Oh, I thought it was like in the NBA. Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Never mind.
Don't worry about it.
So
very sad. He's like an amazing writer who covers the Pacers for SB Nation's Pacers blog. And tricky. Like, But hey,
tricky out there. But anyways, the question is
tricky out there.
Yeah, so. I think we reserve our long term decision making for like the end of this season. And again, I think it's sort of a binary in my mind, but also there's like a kind of intermediary version of it where it's like we do lukewarm in the playoffs and things get really messy. But I don't know. Basically, for me, it's like this is a make or break playoff run with our core.
Yes, and I agree with you that it's like the percent chance of like us ending in happiness with KD and Kyrie matters on what happens in these next 4 months or 5 months or whatever it is. Like if they suck, Kyrie's probably, then the Nets are gonna be like, well, our team sucks. Why try to remain with Kyrie? Like if the team is really good, they're willing to allow some of Kyrie's bullshit.
Yeah.
Right. Where if the team doesn't do so well, the bullshit meter, the amount that you can take. Sort of.
I also think like bullshit is a really, what have you done for me lately kind of thing too. Like for me, it seems like, people are adaptable. We get past bullshit real quick. So, that's how I am. I don't hold grudges, Mike. It's my Irish ways.
Do you think I hold grudges?
No, not really. Not more than most people.
Can I talk about Nets PR for just a second?
If you have to.
No, that's my grudge. I was
Oh, good. Good callback.
Nice. Anyways, thank you
all for listening. Mike, where do they find us? Yeah, get us
out of here. At BKGlueGuys on Twitter, netsdaily.com, The Athletic. Get yourself by the paywall at theathletic.com/GlueGuys. Get into the Discord, discord.gg/GlueGuys. YouTube. Find us on YouTube, The Glue Guys.
Nice.
Can find us there. Net show. We have videos.
I promised to upload this episode, but I haven't. I've been super negligent.
I know you're busy. Don't worry about it. Just do it later.
Okay, I'll do it. No problem. All right, bye everybody. Say goodbye, Mike.